Hello, everyone. It's Bill Thompson, T-Bill, and welcome to Plain Market Talk, where I will provide a straightforward interpretation and analysis of current market news based on my background as a retired Wall Street stockbroker with almost 50 years of experience. And I will also provide business lessons to help you become much more successful with your personal finance, trading, and investments. So let's get started. Hey everyone, it's Bill Thompson, T-Bill. Welcome to Plain Market Talk. Today is Thursday, February 29, 2024. Okay, we'll see what's going on with the markets. Have some market news out there to talk about. Today, continuing on with mutual funds. I'm going to talk about mutual fund screeners, and we'll see what else we have time for. But today, I'm going to start out, first of all, happy leap day to everybody. And for those of you that have a birthday today, happy leap day birthday. This is the extra day added on every 4 years. I used to work with a stockbroker born today. He told me he was 9 years old when I met him. He was actually 36, but he only had a birthday every 4 years. So I'll talk a little bit about, well, what is leap day and how does it work and how does it affect financial markets? So I'll talk a little bit about that. So yeah, so today is the extra day of the year, February 29th. Many of you know why we have the extra year. It's to keep the calendars in sync. The Earth doesn't actually go around the sun 365 days. It goes around every 365.2422 days. So rounding off 365 and a quarter days. So to keep the calendars in sync, if not, we'd end up with like the Thanksgiving, Christmas holidays, the middle of the summer eventually. Because an Earth year is 365 and a quarter days, every 4 years we add an extra day today to keep things in sync. But it's actually not that simple. A year is actually 365.2422 days, not 0.25, slightly under. So to keep the calendars even more in sync, we have a leap year every 4 years, unless the year is at the end of a century. We then do not have a leap year unless that year is evenly divisible by 400. So like, Bill, what the heck did you just say? If we go back to the year 1900, that was not a leap year because you can't evenly divide 400 into it. So we had a leap year in 1896. But no leap year in 1900. The next leap year was 1904, so there was an eight-year gap. But in the year 2000, we did have a leap year because the year number 2000, you can divide 400 into exactly five times. So at the end, 100th year of a century is not normally a leap year. So the year 2100, 2200, 2300 will not be leap years. But the year 2400 will be a leap year. You can divide 400 into that six times. So anyway, that's how that works. So leap years, yeah, they go all the way back to 45 BC. Julius Caesar, you know, had it put into what was called the Julian calendar at the time. Anyway, how does it affect financial markets? Well, there is some effect. In the world of bonds, you know, bonds are loans to governments or corporations. Interest is paid and calculated on a per-day basis. So, you know, if you have a bond that you bought, say, in 2022, and it's a 10-year bond that goes to 2032, well, this year you would actually get slightly more interest because it's going to pay you 366 days of interest versus 365. In the world of stocks, the way leap years affect stocks, this year, 2024, all other things being equal, companies will have slightly higher sales, slightly higher profits in most cases. The reason is they have an extra day to sell things. So simple as that. So there is some effect. You know, it's not considered a drastic major effect, but those are the effects on financial markets. All right. As far as financial markets, talking about that, markets are basically more or less flat right now, but up for the month of February. So we got the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Right now it's 1:44 in the afternoon Eastern Time. We got the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.07%. We got the S&P 500 up 0.27%, and the NASDAQ Composite up 0.52%. Now, if things hold right where they are, then yeah, the markets are going to be up for the month of February as they were in January. Let's see. If the markets finish right now where they are, Dow Jones Industrial Average will be up 1.8% for the month. I'm reading it's his first four-month winning streak since May 2021. S&P 500 would be up 4.6%, and the NASDAQ Composite up 5.2%. So those are really good numbers for a month. Some news we had out earlier today, Federal Reserve's favorite inflation index, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, came in at expectations, up 0.4% for the month of January. But when you look at the whole year, up 2.8% inflation. But when you back out food and energy prices, the reason those are a lot of times backed out, they're affected by other things than finance and economics, like food's affected by weather, as an example. Energy, oil, and so forth. A lot goes into that, politics, whatever. You'd back those out, you get a core rate of 2.4%. So inflation right now is running at about annualized 2.4%. Definitely down from the 9.5% we had a couple of years back. Still, though, above the Federal Reserve's long-term target of 2.0%. But, you know, still quite a bit down from where it was. Again, that was in line with market expectations. So the markets didn't react too much to that. Okay, moving on here. We got coming out this weekend the movie Dune Part 2. Now, the reason this is being looked at, the box office revenue sales are down 18% from a year ago when you look at year to date. I think the obvious reason, most people would realize, a lot of people just not going to the movies as much now, wait for it to come out on streaming. The reason this is being looked at, though, this may be a movie people will be willing to go see. We haven't had a big box office hit so far in 2024, so this may be the one where people are like, I don't want to wait till it comes out on streaming, and I want to see a movie like this, very visual movie, on a big screen. So mostly the film industry, movie industry, financial industry in general, all looking at this movie. I have a personal recollection about Dune. Back in the 80s, for a few years, I was involved with the funding of movies. And I want to emphasize, I had a very small part in it, but I was part of it. And I still have the original paperwork called prospectuses for a lot of big, big movies before, they were just ideas on paper. We funded Superman 2, Superman 3, a movie called The Right Stuff about the Mercury astronauts. We did Spies Like Us, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd. Ghostbusters 2, we did Spaceballs, just quite a few. Crush Groove, I remember that one, the hip-hop artist at the time. A movie called After Hours we did really well with. Anyway, but then we also did a lot that just didn't do well either, you may never heard of. But yeah, I remember Dune. It was late 1982, I guess, and it was proposed to us, the science fiction movie based on a series of best-selling books. And we were told it was going to be like Star Wars, whole series of movies and so forth, and just follow the books. Anyway, long story short, the movie came out in 1984. It was just a total disaster. It was a critical disaster, financial disaster. I mean, we just lost a boatload of money on it. So some of you might be saying, Bill, that movie's really not that bad. Yeah, when they put the scenes back in, apparently it was a three-hour movie that Warner Brothers cut down to 2 hours to run into theaters more times, where word got out that it wasn't really that good. But it got better when they actually put the scenes back in. So actually, Warner Brothers still holds the movie rights to Dune. And finally, all those years later, just recently, they decided to give it another try. But and think about unusual about that, that's why I'm talking about it. It was decided to split the movie into two halves. That, the first one, it was just too hard to do the first book in one movie. So the thing about it was unusual, we had Dune Part 1 come out, I believe 2021. It's the only movie that I can remember, at least in Hollywood history, that did not have a part two actually approved. While part one came out, Warner Brothers wanted to see how part one did before approving part two. I don't remember that ever happening before. So anyway, part one actually did very well. It was nominated for 10 Academy Awards, and then part two was approved. So, if you want to see more on that, just use Google, whatever search engine you want to use, type in Dune Part 2 Greenlit, and you'll see that, approval didn't happen until the first one came out. So anyway, we'll see what goes on with that. So we got that news. Also, Indie World of AI, artificial intelligence, and talk about Bitcoin here in a minute too. It's near its record highs. It says Microsoft introduces Copilot artificial intelligence AI chatbot for finance workers in Excel and Outlook. What does that mean? Excel, for those of you not familiar with it, it's a software program. It's a spreadsheets used heavily in the world of finance. Outlook is for scheduling, email, and so forth. Well, I guess what this artificial intelligence chatbot will do, it'll take care of a lot of routine things that take up finance workers' time, financial ratio analysis, what's called variance analysis. So I guess you can get it to help along with some routine things. So we'll see. We'll see. This may go into, again, the old thing I used to hear as a kid, let machines do more so people can do more. So, and we might hear more about that coming up. Also in the world of AI, we have a company that is currently private, but it may go public. So that's why I wanted to talk about it. It's called Figure AI. What'd you just say, Bill? Figure, F-I-G-U-R-E. Word figure, space, and then AI for artificial intelligence. Looks like this company, what they make is a humanoid-looking robot, and it looks like they just raised $675 million from companies like Microsoft, NVIDIA, which has been a big play in AI, with investors, OpenAI, and Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon. So keep an eye on this. It says the company will use the money to accelerate development of its humanoid robot, which is intended for commercial use. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of this thing right now. It's called Figure 01, the word figure followed by the two numbers, 01. Yeah, it looks like one of those creatures from the Terminator movies, you know, those robot creatures. So anyway, take a look at it yourself. But the reason I wanted to mention this, I wouldn't be surprised to see this company go public sometime in the foreseeable future. And that might be a big play with investors jumping all over this for artificial intelligence. So anyway, we got that news there also. Yeah, Bitcoin. You know, I've talked about cryptocurrencies in the past. Yeah, Bitcoin, basically it was at $64,400 a unit November 2021. It dropped to a little over $16,000 a unit a year later. And now, right now, it is $60,622 a unit, down 1.9%, down 3.03% today, but back over $60,000. So yeah, something to keep an eye on. A few sessions back, I talked about some of those exchange-traded funds that you could possibly invest in Bitcoin. We actually have 30,000 cryptocurrencies out there, but you know, Bitcoin seems to be the one that a lot use as a base mark, a measurement. You know, I did a whole bunch of sessions a while back on cryptocurrencies for anybody that's interested. But yeah, you know what I've said is that, yeah, I think there's a future for cryptocurrencies. Even 2 years ago, I said that, but I said there'd probably be a shakeout like with the dot-com stocks, exactly what happened. But will Bitcoin replace currencies? Maybe not, but there's two big issues that it's hard to get resolved right now. One's the volatility. See, if you put $1,000 in a bank account, and you know, inflation's running at 3%. Well, you know, you got $970 in real value at the end of the year, but if you're earning 2% interest, you got $990. You know, money, a US currency is still a pretty good store of value. You put it in cryptocurrency, not as an investment, just to hold your money. Well, it's down 3% just today. You see what I mean? It's just very volatile. The other issue is that, and I've talked about in the past, if you were to use a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin to buy something, it takes about 10 minutes for the transaction to go through. It's not instantaneous like using a debit card at a grocery store where the money transfers immediately. And, you know, the problem, retail stores wouldn't want to take a chance on this for an immediate purchase because the value could change 1%, 2% in 10 minutes or so. So that's still some problems to overcome. But Bitcoin, yeah, doing well. One thing you want to be cautious, though, you know, whenever you have any investment that goes up quite a bit as Bitcoin has been, you get all these, you know, experts suddenly appearing that they're now Bitcoin experts, so like they were dot-com stock experts years ago. You know, they may mean well, but, you know, before following somebody's advice, ask them to show you proof, verifiable proof, independent verification. when they told everybody to sell Bitcoin in November 2021, when it was around $64,000 a unit, and then rebuy it in November 2022, when it was over $16,000. See, so if not, it's just wishful thinking on their part. All right, the last thing I want to talk about today, mutual fund screeners. We have about 7,500 mutual funds out there. So how do you go through them all? It'd be very difficult, and plus things are always changing. So we have what are out there called screeners, like screen doors. And what they do, they can search through these 7,500 mutual funds based on any criteria you want to put in to find, you know, specific results. Now, I'm going to talk about those quite a bit more starting with the next session. But for now, what you can do is just use Google or whatever search engine you like to use and type in mutual fund screener or screeners with the S at the end of it. And they should come up. Over the years, I've tended to use the Yahoo one because it's very powerful. It's got lots of parameters that you can put in to search for anything. That's an advantage. With mutual funds, disadvantage is exactly that. It has a lot of parameters, and it can become somewhat overwhelming to use it. Sometimes we've got other screeners out there. I know MarketWatches is more simple. There, various brokerage firms have them. But the thing about screeners to remember, especially with performance information, like find me mutual funds that are up 50% a year over the last 3 years. You got to be careful there because that's based on past history. And particularly with the one-year returns, the top performing mutual funds of the last year, a lot of times they're in very specific sectors that are cyclical, like maybe copper stocks. They're up 1 year, down the next. So we'll talk more about that going forward. But for now, yeah, you might, if you're interested, take a look at, first look at mutual fund screeners. All right, we're going to wrap things up for today. Hope everyone's doing well. Again, happy leap day to everybody that celebrates a birthday today. And I will talk to you again soon. Take care. See ya.